is ESPN 97.5, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Joe, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at D1 Training in the Woodlands. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Three and one from the first quarter of the season. It's definitely a win in my book, but, you know, definitely got to clean up a lot of things to get better. But I think it's very adamant, very noticeable we can get better.
Yeah, you can. I get it. The Texans are 3-1. But Sunday, against the Buffalo Bills at NRG Stadium, with the new H-Town blue uniforms, is a big boy pants Sunday, because for the first time, the Texans are playing a team that they can't possibly overlook, that they can't possibly have to deal with home field advantage of another team. It is all on them. Are they finally going to show us they've got that Super Bowl potential? Hello, it is Kalon and George on Friday, got to get down on Friday, October 4th of 2024. We are at D1 training in the Woodlands, the place for the athlete. Can't wait to work out later.
I know you came ready to go.
I came ready to go. Well, so here's the plan for today. So I am going on another date with a girl who lives up here.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to work out this morning, but since that stupid ass push notification for a cop in Lubbock, and I hope he's okay, woke me up at 4:50.
Yeah.
I went back to bed, and I slept in a little longer than I wanted to.
Okay.
So I didn't work out in the morning. I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to get my arms looking as gunned up as possible for this date.
You just need to talk to Dalton, one of the trainers here, and just say, Dalton, I need you to give me whatever workout that's going to make me look the most muscular for my date tonight.
And my big boy pants are a pair of white short shorts for tonight's date. Joe, just bring it back to the Texans and the Bills. It's a big boy pants Sunday.
It is. This game is. I'm excited for this game. This of all the games we've seen so far, and the way the Texans season has gone, where it's not been close in the Minnesota game. It's been too close in every other game. But now you got this one versus Buffalo, and you've got your first real test to prove to us who you are. Who are you as a football team?
Exactly.
Are you a real contender? Are you a team that we should be putting in Super Bowl power rankings? You know, when Tom Brady is looking majestic on Twitter and he's doing his top five power rankings of teams in the NFL.
Looking like he went to D1 training.
And he still has the Houston Texans as the third best team in the NFL. Buffalo Bills not in his top five. You got to prove it this weekend. You got to prove that you belong in this conversation.
100%. And I do not count the Vikings game. I don't count it. I know that the Vikings are 4-0, but I could totally understand, not that it's okay, I could totally understand how the Texans go into a game against Sam Darnold and maybe overlook them. Totally get that. There are no excuses this week. This is not a week where you can afford to have 10-plus penalties, which you've done, the last 3 weeks?
Yeah.
You got to cut down the penalties. This is the most penalized team in the NFL. This is the most penalized team on offense in the NFL. It is time to shape up because we need a man. A man who can put on big boy pants, and our heart are set on those boys in H-Town Blue.
And honestly, Paul, some of the stuff that they've dealt with in terms of the jumping off sides, the false starts, it's probably going to be loud when the Texans are off on offense. We saw what it was like when Chicago was here. Buffalo Bills fans are going to travel. Mm-hmm. I would imagine there's going to be a good chunk of Buffalo fans there. Like, it's not going to be the perfect situation when you're on offense, when CJ Stroud wants it to be quiet. I don't think you're going to get that. So this is, you know, which I kind of don't hate, because I want to see them just stop playing stupid football.
I totally forgot about that dynamic. Fans always travel well here. Bills fans travel very well. There's a part of me that now wants to maybe get to NRG Stadium a little bit earlier on Sunday. I imagine I will sleep in as I normally do Saturday into Sunday, but now I have a reason to go to the tailgate because I do want to see somebody crash through a table.
Are you going to go through a table?
I don't know if I'd handle it, be able to handle
okay.
it. I feel like it's been a while since my last injury. It's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
And no matter how much training I do here at D1 Training today, you never know what's going to happen if you throw yourself through, you know, a table.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that the workout you're going to get here is going to prevent that injury when you hit the pavement.
Do you think any Bills fans will bring items that are sometimes thrown on the field?
Yes.
Items of a sexual nature.
Yes. And when Stephon Diggs scores his first touchdown of the game, I hope they throw one at him.
I feel like that's the one thing that'll get him off of this good guy streak that he's currently on. Because to his credit, since he has been here, he has done everything that he can. I have a bone to pick with Texans media about things that didn't happen this week. But I feel like Stephon Diggs is doing his best to say, hey, this game is just about the Texans and the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. But it is Texans-Bills on a big boy Sunday coming up at NRG Stadium. I am excited to see those new uniforms. Here is C.J. Stroud. He was asked if playing the Bills is particularly special.
I think every team in the NFL is good, so I don't really look at the Bills like, oh, they're this. No, don't get me wrong. They are a great football team. Like, they have done what they've done for a very good reason. Like, Josh, I can go on and on about the Bills. Trust me, they are amazing. But once again, you know, we're football players too. We're dogs just like they are, you know. So it's going to be a great matchup. I feel I definitely got a lot of respect for them. Great defense. McDermott has a great philosophy on how he calls plays. And, you know, they're playing really well together. And then their offense, of course, they're going to score points. Josh Allen is definitely a top premier quarterback in his league. And I'm a big fan of his, watch his game a lot. So, you know, just a ton of respect for them. But, you know, I don't look at it as, like, up or down. You know exactly what I would say. So, yeah. Not trying to sound arrogant, just being real.
I mean, a little arrogance there.
No, I don't think so. I think he gave the exact right answer. This is every team in the NFL can beat you on any given Sunday.
And that's true.
More than any team in the league, who needs to know that by now?
Yeah, and then I guess when you look at the Texans' schedule this year, when you see like the teams like Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, it's like, well, we're going to play all the big boys.
For
this
sure.
year anyway. So it's not like you play Buffalo and then you play no one else. So there's no reason for this game to stand above the rest. It's not even in prime time. But yeah, I mean, you know, one thing that he said there at the end, like, they're going to score. As good as the Texans' defense has been at times, Buffalo's going to find a way to score.
For sure.
The Texans have to score touchdowns in this game. You cannot rely on Kyme Fairbairn 50-yard field goals to win this football game on Sunday. It's just, that's not big boy football.
Big boy football means playing like your dogs.
Yeah.
As C.J. Stroud said. I haven't heard him say dog for a while. So focus level maybe a little bit higher, even though he's saying it's just another team.
Maybe he knows they're not playing like dogs at the moment all the time. So he's, you know, not – he's not saying it. He's thinking about his words before he executes them.
Sure. That's a great explanation.
Yeah.
He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George. We are live at D1 Training in the Woodlands. This is a very cool gym. We're in front of a little – AstroTurf here. I like it. It's very pretty inside. The Woodlands. I love the Woodlands.
I do too.
The Woodlands is
far,
my favorite suburb. It is far, but this is the only suburb that I do not mind the drive.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like everywhere else, you are outside the wall. You're practically a wildling. No offense to the people who live in the suburbs. I get it. You get way more space here. You get way more quiet here. And hopefully less crime here, but the Woodlands are special, man. I love them.
It was a long drive for me, but it was such an easy drive. That's where I didn't mind. I didn't hit any traffic on the way. It took me an hour plus to get here, but there was no traffic.
Oh.
So that was nice.
I, as I always do, procrastinated and may have driven 115 at one point to get up here.
Oh, Paul.
Yep. I listen.
You got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Got to
right?
do what you got to
like,
do.
Like, were we on the air at 12 o'clock? Yes.
We were. I got here at 11:55.
No one needed to know that. You could say,
No. I had to.
Because I'm Paul Gallant. I got here so early. I got here at 10:55.
No. I mean, this is 100% one of those things where I have to hold myself accountable. And if I'm holding the Houston Texans accountable and saying that, like, hey, you can't shoot yourself in the foot, I can't shoot myself in the foot by having ADD by the door for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And walking around, picking up random items. Oh, so they wear these shorts out? Oh, so they wear those
shorts
out?
Oh, so you're picking out your outfit for tonight.
Oh, yeah, I got everything.
Or you're picking out your gym outfit.
Iron shirt. No, I wasn't picking that out.
It does match, though. So.
Well, of course.
Well, you know,
of course. I'm a dandy little Metro.
Yeah.
Don't you know? You can jump in if you want at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can join us on YouTube. You can see us here at D1 Training on YouTube at ESPN Houston, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Joe George is on Twitter at Joe George Radio. Sean Mapes back at Mission Control on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. I'm on Twitter at Gallant Says. I'm surprised that the biggest storyline in the NFL this week is not the priority of people who cover the Houston Texans. Can't believe it. What am I talking about? You'll find out next. Stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We are at D1 Training up in the Woodlands, the place for the athletes. See a couple of people working out right now. It's a nice gym. I like it. It's a good spot, good location. So I'm surprised by the complete lack of care here in Houston for something that's the biggest story in the NFL this week. Stephon Diggs playing against his old team in a marquee matchup of two of the top 3 to 4 AFC teams. I can't believe that it's not getting the kind of buzz here. And I get that the Astros were just in the playoffs, but now that it's over, I feel like we can focus on this, Joe. And this is a pretty big story, especially seeing as just a week ago, after the Bills housed the Jaguars, you heard Josh Allen say this after the game.
Paying dividends of what we've worked on throughout the entire offseason and through training camp of the everybody eats mentality. And again, it could be your play, this play. You never know when it's going to happen, and that's the beauty of it. When guys get to buy into this and really understand, like, I may not get the ball 4 or 5 times thrown to me a game, but the 1 or 2 times I do, I'm going to have opportunities to be in the end zone. And, you know, it's a fun and wonderful thing when you got a bunch of guys that don't care about the stats, they don't care about the touchdowns. And, again, I think throughout practice we've just had this mindset of, like, hey, let's just do things the right way and find ways to win football games. That's what we're doing right now.
Joe, I don't care what kind of clarification Josh Allen does afterwards. When you're saying guys who don't care whether or not they get the ball 4 to 5 times just make for a better atmosphere, like you just heard from Allen there, he's clearly talking about Stephon Diggs. Is he trying to be mean? I don't know. But are there sour feelings? I don't know. But who could that be about other than Stephon Diggs?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could technically make the arguments about Gabe Davis.
That would be funny if it was Gabe Davis.
You know, now that Gabe Davis is in Jacksonville, the vibes here are just so much better. No, look what was happening before Stephon Diggs got traded. He was subtweeting Josh Allen. He was liking tweets, Instagram posts. He was liking stuff when we could see public lights on Twitter about Josh Allen and his distribution of the ball to his wide receivers and to Diggs. Like, we know what happened last year with Diggs when they changed the offense and focused on running the ball more. Diggs' targets and everything went down. Like, we know who Stephon Diggs is on the sidelines sometimes. It's so obvious it's about Diggs. I also don't understand why it's not a bigger story, especially because when you do think about the Astros and what we've seen, we still have media that feels it's important to talk about a stupid hat for Gerrit Cole that still has an obsession about people, you know, like Carlos Correa every time they come to town, or A.J. Hinch just coming back to town, or George Springer coming back to town. Like, all we talk about is rivalry games. There was more talk about the first time James Harden played at Toyota Center as a member of whatever team he was on, the Brooklyn Nets, than it was for this week.
Will we get a tribute video?
Yeah, like, there should be some juice to this, because revenge games matter. We heard Jonathan Greenard talk about it before and after the game with the Vikings. I hope one of the reasons why the Texans win this weekend is because I want to hear what Diggs is going to say. Like, I want to hear that soundbite. That's the soundbite that's going to be, like, it's going to be gold if the Texans win this game.
Here's the thing. I don't think he's going to say anything, and here's the reason why.
part of it is because he's, I think, trying to turn over a new leaf. And to his credit, he has seemed like a really good leader since he has joined here. A couple of moments in particular that stand out. Sideline of the Vikings game, he's being positive while the Texans were stinking, gathering everybody around and talking to them. And there was another moment, too, where a holding penalty killed a Texans drive in the fourth quarter. And it was Stephon Diggs who was giving everybody, including all the offensive linemen, a handshake when they came off the field. I think he is aware of the perception of him, and he is trying to change people's perception of him. And he deserves a lot of credit for that. But at the same time, I am surprised by how he is being treated by Houston media here, who seem to be a bit deferential in that they don't want to step on his toes and ask him about something that literally everybody that follows the NFL wants to know more about this week. I get it. It's about the guys who play the game on Sunday. I understand that some people are just about the game. But given what you were just talking about, Joe, all the subtweeting and all that stuff, and given that clip that was 2 weeks ago from Josh Allen, how could you not ask about it? Now, Allen clarified later in the week and tried to walk it back a bit. And this week when he was asked about Stephon Diggs, he said this.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm sitting here. It's like it's not the most unusual thing. I think this thing happens from time to time. And, you know, I got a lot of love for him. I still do. The things that he did for me in my career and the things that he did in the Buffalo Bill uniform won't be forgotten anytime soon, especially from me. So that's how I look at it. At the same time, you know, going into year seven, I understand the business and the aspect of what this league is. And, again, I'm just trying to focus on what we got going in this building.
All of that is fine and good, but two things here. First off, Stephon Diggs definitely was made aware of those comments by Josh Allen. Definitely.
Of course he knew.
And I'm sure he has some thoughts that he's going to keep to himself on that front, to the point where he would not make himself available to the media after the Texans win over the Jaguars on Sunday, which, by the way, not allowed. But, hey, I'm not the big J Journo here. I'm just pointing out what has been happening. The Texans have really not made Stephon Diggs available that much. But leading up to this game, I thought for sure that they were going to put him on the podium and they were going to live stream the press conference on YouTube. They did not do that. And I can't believe, as on top of that, that the people that are covering the Houston Texans here in town only posted this. This is from Landry Locker, who asked this question about Stephon Diggs and his return to Buffalo and how he sees it.
Beating a team like Buffalo that you're trying to get on that tier with, and you've been in that situation in Buffalo, is there any added, like, importance of a game like this?
No, I mean, I feel like the main thing is you got to understand that they're in the AFC. You know what I'm saying? Standing is obviously something real. We obviously got division games, and you got people in the AFC that you got to see along the line. I feel like this schedule, we damn near literally play everybody. So damn near counts as two when you play teams like this, especially when they're a good team, obviously. But, you know, trying to reach a goal or trying to get somewhere, you got to take it 1 week at a time. You know, you want to go 1-0 no matter who the opponent is. And, like, I feel like that's the main thing. Obviously, coming out here with a win is what everybody wants. So, no matter, I don't think that'll jump you into a tier. You won't get in no tier until you get in the playoffs and furthermore. But, you know, going 1-0 is going to be imperative.
How do you make this week?
He just mansplained, hey, you know, you got to play teams. And look, the Bills, they're in the AFC. And you want to win every single week, and you want to go 1-0 at a time. He is trying so hard to not talk about Josh Allen. And to his credit, cool. I'm not here to walk him into a trap or anything like that. But, Joe, that's the only thing that anybody in Houston media posted of Stephon Diggs talking about the Buffalo Bills. That is it. Just Landry Locker, the only one. What, you don't want to step on his toes? You don't want to ask him about what Josh Allen said a week before? Someone has to do that. Someone has to do that. And I'm sorry to tell the media how to do their jobs, but I can't go to those availabilities since they happened during our show. Somebody has to ask him about those comments. I'm sure he'll give a no comment. I'm sure he'll roll his eyes. I'm sure he won't be your best friend anymore. You have to ask that question.
I mean,
it's the same thing.
You know, it's. I'm not surprised. Like, I wonder what the inner workings are at times of the, like, what happens, you know, with some of those media guys and the PR staff. I mean, look, this is a media group, like, and there's a lot of people in there, like, I consider friends and I like, but, like, no one even seemed to care that they didn't even do a press conference for him when he got traded here. Like, there was no care in the world. And it felt like, to me, the same thing we're talking about now, where it's like, well, they didn't want to make Diggs answer questions about his tweets and his stuff with Josh Allen because let's focus on just being a Texan. Like, let's just focus on that. So I don't know if that's a D'Amico thing, a PR thing, a Diggs thing, his agent, whatever it is. What, they just seem to not have the interest even allowing the opportunity for that. And then, yeah, I mean, look, I have no problem saying it when without, I think, you there and without when with Brian T. Smith in London, I think we miss a lot of the tough questions because Chandler doesn't cover the Texans. So
and look, you mentioned Chandler. A lot of people were at the Astros game during Stephon Diggs' media availability, so maybe
that's
that
also
helped him out a little bit.
Yeah.
But here are the questions that were asked, okay? Because I texted DJ. I actually texted DJ, what the bleep? No one asked? No one asked about Josh Allen's comments. The questions that were asked, what kind of emotions are there getting ready to play your former team? He dodged that. Talked about his leadership early on. How instrumental have you been in Nico Collins' development? Bills fans... Stroud complimenting him and his fit in this team. More from CJ. More another question about CJ. I couldn't hear it. That question that Landry asked, after there's extra magnitude going up against a team like the Bills, and how do you make this week not bigger than what it is?
I think that Nico wants the weirdest question. His role in Nico's development? What a weird question to ask. Yeah, I don't get why they're not more curious. Because I'm curious. Like, what is Stephon Diggs? Because that's what I think. Is like it takes a little bit of the juice away from this game. Not that he wouldn't walk it back or say nothing, but I want to know like what Stephon Diggs is thinking going into this game.
I'm curious. I know he's not going to share with us. I just think that the people that are here in town, one, have an obligation to ask that question.
I agree.
And two, I can't believe nobody posted about that. It's clicks, baby. Don't you guys care about your – I mean – the national story that blows up in a local publication because people are clicking on it or crediting you or whatever, that should have been done.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to go big in this industry, that's what you're supposed to do. This is the click story this week. So I'm disappointed, and I'm sure I'll see some of these people on Sunday. I'm sure someone will walk up to me and say, oh, I didn't really like what you said. Someone should have asked him about what Josh Allen said after the Monday Night Football game. That's it. That's all I'm trying to say.
I agree.
I can't believe no one asked him about
that. No, I very much agree. It should have been asked because it was about Diggs. Like we said at the start of the segment,
yeah.
It was about Stephon Diggs. Who else would it be about?
Yeah.
Like, it was a shot. It was a direct
shot
at Stephon Diggs saying that the vibe here is better because we have someone that's not here getting upset when they don't get the ball.
Exactly. And for context's sake, Joe, Davante Adams. Questions are being asked about Davante Adams, not just to head coach Antonio Pierce and to quarterback Gardner Minshew with all these trade rumors circling him right now. Davante Adams is even being asked about these trade rumors by Kay Adams. Derek Carr, who is on the effing Saints, is being asked about Davante Adams. Technically, that's tampering. Gerard Mayo on the Patriots about to throw a mutiny on their head coach per one of the reporters who covers the team, who was then forced to walk it back by calling into the flagship radio station, which is honestly one of the most embarrassing moments I've ever had as a Patriots fan, seeing that happen. Everyone is being asked about Davante Adams. You can't ask Stephon Diggs about what Josh Allen said. Mark Cooper's being asked about trade rumors involving him.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, this is not that hard of a question, and if Stephon Diggs can't handle it, I mean... Dude, this is part of the job. This is part of the job of playing in the NFL, and you made this happen. You have been treated very, very, very friendly since you have come here. You have not had to do that many media availabilities, and I'm not demanding that happens all the time, but you're going to face questions like this, and someone has to ask questions like this, but I don't know.
It's also not our job to protect him from the question.
That is my sense, and I'm sure that some people will be mad that I feel that way, but... That's how I feel. You have to ask that question. He's not your friend. He's someone you cover.
Yeah, I mean, like there are people.
And if he can't handle that, ruin your relationship with him? I mean, come on. That's pretty soft on his part.
No, like I'm going as a fan this weekend, so like if they yank me before I even go. But the person who was firing, getting people fired and was yanking credentials all the time, she's not even with the Texans anymore. So I don't know what they're scared of. At this point, from the PR staff. The PR staff's great. You ask a tough question. They're not going to be wrong. So they just didn't want to ask it. I don't know why. And I want to know his answer. So now I'm just hoping the Texans win on Sunday so we can get an authentic Diggs answer. Because that's the time to ask. Because AKA Paul's going to be there. Assuming he's available to the media.
We'll see. We'll see after the game. I mean, he better be. And he better go to the podium, too. From the 832, how about the media ask grown man questions and not instigating bitch questions? What's a grown man question? Is it flexing towards the guy and saying, look, hey, like when you guys are in 11 personnel, like what do you think that really does for the offense? Is it asking something stupid like that? It gives a non-answer that no one cares about?
No, because if we ask that question, then someone would just call in and say, you guys only play peewee football.
Oh, yeah, that's true. By the way, no, I played high school football.
Same.
But I was at the 1A level of Florida, which is a very low level.
But it's still Florida.
And I was all district.
Yeah.
Just saying.
All district Paul.
That's right.
Safety.
Glory days. Well, they're passing my. They passed me by, all right. They passed me by.
You never know. We'll see what the workout looks like afterwards.
I woke up aching, Joe, in the middle of the night because of that cop that got attacked or whatever.
I was just surprised they pushed the blue alert that early in the morning. And it was so far
I didn't know
away.
A blue alert existed.
Yeah, I thought it
I thought a tornado was hitting, and I was like running around, freaking out, hearts palpitating, looking for my cat so I can go hide it in the bathtub in case things fall apart. And I was like, oh, this is in Lubbock?
Well, Mapes texted us saying that he turned off the ambulance. I didn't even know you could do that.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could. I thought they were like auto on your phone.
No, I'm not.
You just go to notifications, scroll all the way to the bottom, and you can turn them on.
I would like to turn off the silver alerts, to be honest. No offense, old people out there. Like, I'm not going to stop your car from. I'm not going to stop Grandpa from driving his Buick. Okay?
I don't think I'd get those.
His Lincoln Town car. No, they used to have those, and there would always be up on the. There's this one like screen that's on 59.
Uh-huh.
It's like silver alert. And it's
I guess
it is something I want to know about. If like there's an old person that shouldn't be driving on the highway, I definitely want to know about that.
Yeah, but it's Houston. Like 80% of the people on the highway shouldn't be driving on the highway.
He's Joe and Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The voice of Sean Mapes back at Mission Control. We are at D1 training in the Woodlands. Can't wait to work out in a little bit here. Let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. You enter that promo code, they're going to double your initial deposit right away. And you can bet on blackjack with live dealers. You can bet on poker with live dealers. You can bet on Thursday night football. I hope that you guys put in your no-risk bet because on Thursdays with mybookie.ag, if you bet and lose, your money comes back. But I told you guys to hit the over in that game last night. The over was 43. They got well more than that. It was 66 total. It was a fun game, too. Man, Kirk Cousins. Holy smokes. I think I saw King of All Twitch saying, maybe Kirk Cousins has some words of wisdom for CJ Stroud. Well, I think a lot of fantasy football players would like to have Kirk Cousins say, hey, man, this is how you throw for 500 yards. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can bet on the over for CJ Stroud. Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. Maybe you're looking at that. Maybe you're looking at the line. It has been going back and forth. I think last I checked it was Bills by one, but it has gone back to Texans by one as well. It's basically a pick 'em game. So, hey, the whole cover them thing, you might not have that as a problem this week. It's just a straight pick 'em. I'm taking the Bills in this one. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at D1 Training in the Woodlands.
Texans and Bills on Sunday. It's the biggest game of the NFL slate, at least in my opinion, unless you're into that early game in London. Vikings going back there again. 4-0. Actually, check that. They lost in 1066, the Vikings, when they invaded England back then. But
it's true.
Yeah, they lost first, and technically, since the Vikings took on the English first, the Anglos at the time, that's why the Normans were able to have like an easy victory, kind of vultured them, if you will. But Vikings are 3-0 in their last three games in London. They're playing the Jets. That ought to be an interesting game. Sam Darnold revenge game. Darnold's not looking at it that way. But that's the only other game that, Joe, I would put on the same level as the Texans and the Bills on Sunday. And it's nice to turn the page to that after the disappointment, of course, of Wednesday with the Astros season ending.
Yeah, maybe Ravens-Bengals is a little interesting just because like this is it for the Bengals, this one at home. You go to 1-4, your season's over. We might be in, you know, T. Higgins trade conversation time at that point, you know, since he's going to walk in free agency. So I think there's an interesting game there if Derrick Henry can just keep going off. But this is the best game. This is the one game that, you know, like my dad and I, when we got season tickets, we were back and forth on the most of are we going to sell or are we going to go?
You're going to go.
Because we knew we could make the most money on this game because of Bills fans. We're going. Like, I'm like, I got to see Josh Allen. I want to see him play in person for the first time. And I just this game means so much for who the Texans are going to be and who the Bills are. I mean, the Bills got dog walked last week by Baltimore. Like, this is a big game for both these teams. And like you said when you were doing your read there, it's been going back and forth, minus one, plus one all week for the Texans. It's a pick 'em at this point.
Josh Allen is the offensive player of the month in the AFC. And I don't really think it was his fault necessarily on Sunday as much as it was the Ravens just running all over the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills tried some wacky stuff with that trick play when they were down 21-10. Listening to the Texans, they feel like the Bills' run defense and their struggles is being overstated. They feel like there are a couple of moments in the game on Sunday where Sunday night where the Bills just missed. It wasn't like they were just completely weak up front. And they're pretty good at creating pressure. So this is going to be a tough one, I think, for the Texans offensively. Everything's been tough for the Texans offensively to this point. And defensively, it's going to be tough to stop the offensive player of the month. Someone texted in, CJ hasn't backed up his bleep talking yet this year. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's bleep talking, but they have been, this offseason, walking around with a bit of a strut.
Mm-hmm.
I think that strut is now back to walking, not with their head down, but they're back to walking.
Yeah, I think that they've reined it in a little bit. Like the off-season talk that was there is gone. Now, part of that's because, well, he doesn't have the opportunity to. He's not doing podcasts with Wallow and Gilly from Barstool and all these different things that we saw him do this off-season. He just only speaks to the media. And CJ's never been who he was this off-season with us. Like, he's never had that demeanor, that calmness, or not even calmness, the freeness to speak. So I'm not surprised. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I mean, he's been excellent this year. Has he been the best quarterback in the NFL? No. But has he been pretty damn good? Yes, he has been, for sure. I mean, when you look at what Nico Collins is doing, what you're seeing, the lack of the run game, and the fact that you see games like last week where CJ is just in control for most of the game, and then it goes away, but when it matters most, he gets the ball, he takes his team down the field, and he scores. Like, I don't know what else you can ask for CJ Stroud right now. They're 3-1. It's not his fault. No, it's not.
You're right.
Ugly winning.
You're right. They have been winning very ugly, but it's not Stroud's fault. Listen, people are definitely walking back the hype that they gave to the Houston Texans, and we do this thing where, much like in The Matrix, if you get the red pill, you wake up in the post-apocalyptic world that is run by machines with a scorched sky. So we're going to give you a battle red pill today. A couple of national talking heads. Interesting thoughts about the Texans.
Heretics dare to question the Houston Texans' greatness.
How dare you?
Is it bullshit?
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Or will you take this battle red pill?
You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
James Palmer used to be an NFL reporter for the NFL Network, now an NFL reporter for Underdog Sports. I consider him a friend. Very good guy. Was here in Houston for a while. He had this to say about the Texans after their win over the Jacksonville Jaguars, and specifically their locker room.
It was the worst winning locker room I have covered in 15 years of the NFL. I mean, my head's on a swivel. I'm like, did they not just have a game-winning drive, score with seconds left, and win this game? And there's nobody to be found. Guys who are in there are not talking. I go up to Stephon Diggs, hey, man, you want to chat? I'm not talking today. Okay. Laramie Tunsil talked for like 30 seconds. And I'm trying to dig, going like, what? Am I missing something here? And then I kind of got to the bottom of it, making some calls and some texts. This is a team, Steve, that I think everybody had as what? A Super Bowl contender after C.J. Stroud's unbelievable rookie season. Then they just get just destroyed by the Vikings 2 weeks ago. Eke out, like I said, a win against the Jaguars. And essentially what I was told was, we cannot keep playing like this.
I understand why the locker room was like that, and I will confirm the locker room was like that.
Yeah.
Does this make you feel better about them going forward?
I mean, I'd rather the... You know what? I kind of like this. I kind of like the fact that you win a football game, and you're not out there celebrating in a way that doesn't, you know, that's beneath you. And that's what Jacksonville is. They're beneath you. They should have been. It should not have been that close. They should have pummeled them like Buffalo did to Jacksonville the week before. But they're playing bad football in a lot of areas. Their highest paid player and supposedly their best player is a penalty machine. Your rookies are young players. Some of them are stepping up in big ways. Some of them, yet, like Kenyon Green, are not. Your offensive coordinator is a mess and hasn't improved at all. And they shouldn't be celebrating and partying and going nuts and doing all these things. So I kind of like the fact that there's not this, you know, celebration over a regular season win, because I think it kind of goes back to what we were saying at the beginning, where they have for themselves higher standards like we have for them now. So I kind of like it. I don't think it means like there's like a problem in the locker room, but what I'm hoping what it means is just that they're upset with how they're playing football and they know that they need to be better. And they're frustrated internally with the way they're playing. So I'm good with this.
I am too. This I'm not so sure I'm good about. Another battle red pill for you. But people are starting to say things like this about C.J. Stroud, even though we were just saying a little bit ago. The struggles to begin this year are not his fault. He is the reason that they are 3-1 and not 1-3. Seeing how close they were to losing a couple of games against teams that had very inaccurate quarterbacks. Week 1 against the Colts and last week against the Jaguars. Here is Nick Wright of Fox Sports 1 doing something very, very devious with graphics.
And over the last 7 years, teams that pop, make the divisional round, we can show it to you, they don't tip, like teams that get knocked out in the divisional round. The following year, only twice have made it past that. 18 have missed the playoffs outright. Mm. And so what's going on with the Texans? Well, show you CJ's numbers because he's supposed to be an MVP. He's been, I think we can show you CJ's numbers. It's a blind reveal, but it's one of them is CJ. I don't know if you can tell the difference between those two players. To me, it's about identical.
Is that Geno?
No, it's not Geno, Brew. If it was Geno, it'd be nothing to be ashamed of. It's worse than Geno. Wild's going to like it. Reveal it, please. That's C.J. Stroud, and that's Gardner Minshew. And so, listen, facts are the facts.
Now, this is a sign that Nick has not watched C.J., but he is right that the statistics have been similar. And mm-hmm. for a lot of the people, like our Twitch, who whines whenever we talk about the only good sport in the United States of America, whenever they get mad about that, I feel like they look at C.J. Stroud's stats and they don't think he's that good. And to Nick's point, done in bad faith, but amusing.
Yeah, it's disingenuous to say the least.
I thought it was funny still.
I mean, it's I get it. He doesn't like Houston.
I don't know if it's about not liking Houston.
Really?
I think it's
you don't
about
feel some like angst there.
I think it's about antagonizing anyone who would potentially be considered in the same conversation as Patrick Mahomes, because he does this with Josh Allen too.
But that's the problem: is that Patrick Mahomes is not good this year. Like, that's why I think it's disingenuous. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense has been
they've been ugly.
Brutal this year.
They have
year.
Been ugly.
He's thrown more interceptions than C.J. Stroud
yes.
this year. He has not had a big breakout game this year. And you can give every excuse in the book about weapons and injuries and the fact that he hurt Rashee Rice and, you know, the offensive line and Travis Kelce has been partying too much with Taylor Swift. But, like, that's why it's disingenuous to me, because if you put Patrick Mahomes up there, it probably looks closer to, like, Caleb Williams' stats than it does to CJ's.
There you go. So you got to do that as your response.
No, I think because
that would hurt him. That would hurt him really, really badly, because also Caleb Williams has stunk to begin this year, too.
And he picked the Bears to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
I mean, I just don't care about his quarterback takes. But you know what? Hey, the stats are the stats. Gardner Minshew. One play away from beating the Texans and going to the playoffs last year. Maybe Gardner Minshew's the next Baker Mayfield. Mm. Or Sam Darnold. Or Geno Smith?
I don't think so.
What's up with all these quarterbacks that are just like washed out and they're coming back and being good?
It does happen. It's not that strange. We've seen like Rich Gannon's the biggest example of this. He won the MVP in 2002 with it. Ryan Tannehill had a really good year coming back after he got back with Arthur Smith. But it's funny because we always forget about it when it happens.
Yeah.
It does happen like more than you would think, where you go to a better situation and things actually end up working out. It's more so surprising that it's happening in the era of social media where some of these guys have been crushed so much. You would think that everyone's wondering how they're still in the league when in reality they were never that bad.
They're just in awful situations.
Clearly.
C.J. Stroud, Gardner Minshew, same tier.
For sure. Mesa brings up a good point on the Twitch. I think the loss of the Vikings really pumped the brakes on the Texans. They look mid at best. And that's why Sunday is a big boy pants Sunday. All right, let's just go straight through here. This is perhaps my favorite interaction with sports fans in Houston that I've ever had. So, Sean, I don't know if you can play this clip, but for those who didn't see our show on Tuesday, at the very end of the show, I pulled out a dustbuster, and I said, I don't know who anyone on the Tigers is, and that the Astros are about to dustbust Detroit. This is me being a cocky idiot because I feel like it's fun as an Astros fan to be a cocky idiot.
I don't know how many games they need to win. A 3-game series? So if they sweep, what is it, a dustbusting? I brought a dustbuster. I can't even bring in a broom because we're playing in this fake playoff round. I don't know anyone on the Tigers other than Tark Skubal. Tarak? I don't know his name. Tyrak. Skubal? Who is he? I don't know. Don't care. I do not take the Detroit Tigers seriously. 2-game sweep. A dustbuster is in order. Fear us. Gritty Gitty, get out of my city. I don't.
So clearly that aged poorly. Not denying it. I will eat the L on that. And if you want to be mad at me, I can be the hero that Houston deserves, but not the one it needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can be that guy. If you want to get mad at me for that and you think that's the reason the Astros lost, a radio host getting cocky about a team that's been to 7 straight ALCS, have at it.
Mm-hmm. It's all your fault.
But when I posted this, you know what I did? Because I wanted to get more clicks. I've been doing this thing now, and Sam, the social media savant, who is out here with us, as she would tell, you want to have a good thumbnail. So the thumbnail I had for this post I went on Google. I Google image search Astros fan. I saw an Astros fan with a crown on it. I used this one frame as the thumbnail, and then I write as a caption, Astros fans. Too arrogant? ? That's it. I think nothing of it. I checked my Facebook to change the thumbnail because it wasn't showing up right. Not to look at my mentions, and I noticed one of my posts had blown up. And I'm thinking, why has it blown up? Because nothing ever pops on my Facebook, which I pay no attention to. It's a terrible app, much like Twitter is. And I saw that apparently this random Google image that I searched for, it was a random Houston Astros fan. And a bunch of people on this Astros fan page called Houston Astros Nation saw that I had posted this and thought that I was calling him arrogant. So they tagged me in this post, and they show him with like a picture with somebody's grandma and stuff, and like he's anything but arrogant. Now, I'd argue against this because he is an Astros fan that has his own fan page for being a fan.
Yes.
I think that sort of works against this whether or not he is arrogant deal. But this person and this random Facebook group just started going after me because of the thumbnail, saying I don't respect Astros fans, which isn't true, saying all sorts of things about me. This La Raza Astros fan, I guess we have our own La Raza. Yeah, we have our own. I like ours better. Even though he's sometimes a little too handsy. I like ours better. But this person proceeds to call me a Momo, which I thought was a homophobic slur, to be honest. And I was like, wow, this always happens to me, huh? So I
defend myself in the Facebook comments. I apologized to him for a second, but then he just kept on insulting me, and I was like, oh, well, F this guy. F this Baytown trash. So I thought to myself, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rescind my apology and offer him an open invite to ever call into my show whenever he wants to. You know, if he wants to forget the misery of driving back Baytown's Bay, where they dump all the where the water pours out into the Gulf of Mexico, he can. He's got an open invite. But the craziest thing had nothing to do with this guy. The craziest thing about this interaction over an effing thumbnail on Facebook is a man challenged me to a fight. His name is John T. Hill. Here is what he wrote. Paul Gallant, you're a bleeping idiot. You must always respect your opponent or you get ran over. Well, I don't play for the Astros, but fair. And on another note, watch who you choose to talk bleep about when it comes to fans. LaRaza is a great guy. And you want to single him out as arrogant? No, I had no idea who he was until this blew up in my face. You know nothing about the guy, but you get paid to talk bleep about people for a living. I'd punch you in the mouth, but your bitch ass would file assault charges because you live your life behind a keyboard and screen and don't actually have a sack to say bleep to someone's face. I definitely would file assault charges. Just want to let that known. I would 100% file assault charges. Talking heads like you have somehow convinced people that your thoughts actually matter. No, I feel like I'm just entertaining, but I think most of what I say is kind of stupid. But the reality is you couldn't cut it as an athlete of any kind. Oh, excuse me. All districts, sir. And need to talk bleep to feel any sort of value. Mutual combat, bitch. But you don't have the balls to step towards me. This man this man challenged me to mutual combat. So here's the question. Do we do this for charity? Is this something that we would co-sign? Because if we're talking something where it's boxing gloves and I get to wear headgear, I would 100% do this. I've never boxed before. I would imagine it wouldn't go very well. But if this is something that we could monetize for charity,
I'll be honest with you,
I would 100% do it. I have no qualms about it.
This would be – yes. Let's find a way. Let's find a way. Paul versus mutual combat guy.
Do we have
Blank versus Branham.
What was that, Sean?
Do we have measurables on this guy? I just want to
know. That's a good question.
If we're in the same weight class.
He is 10 years older than me, I think. I think he's a 1979 birth. I checked his Facebook. That's all I got.
Okay. You can't tell if he's the same height or anything?
Look for pictures.
250.
Could not tell. I do not think he is 6'4".
I don't even want to see what our Facebook looks like yesterday. About me yelling at Astros fans.
I got to say, this Astros fan nation is just a completely soft group. Because I went in the group and I swore at them. And they said, like, I can't believe this guy's using profanity. Have you ever met me? I mean, the FCC is lucky that I haven't stepped over it that much. And I don't believe that the way someone speaks is something that you should be able to use against their morals or whatever. But, hey, if you got to do that, you got to do that. But what's the page called? If you want to see these posts, it's at Houston Astros Nation. You can see it, or you can check my Facebook page out, facebook.com/Paul Gallant Sports, and see all this. I am willing to do this if we have some guidelines, specifically that I'd get to wear headgear and that we'd get to wear gloves.
Yeah, I think we can definitely do headgear. I'm sure we'd have to for amateur boxing. We do have a former boxing ref on our staff.
We do. I didn't know that.
You didn't know BMAC used to do a...
PMAC, a man of many trades. Yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah, he used to ref boxing fights.
I honestly, BMAC is a big guy. That makes sense because he would be able to actually, I think, break it up.
But I think we can get a full card going here. I mean, we
who else would fight? Does anyone else want to fight anybody else at ESPN 97.5? I know the whole Twitch.
I think we just do like Blake.
Joel might want to fight the whole Twitch.
I think we just like let him, like, we put all the names in a hat and he yanks one out.
Joel versus the entire Twitch.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe it's just Blank versus Branham's the headliner. We can find a way. I'm sure people don't like me after yesterday. Some guy called me a cry, called me a baby.
Oh, that was a good rant. That was a good rant.
Maybe Derek / Gary. Can I fight Derek / Gary?
I don't want to fight him. I like him, but yeah. I wish he would get to the point.
I don't.
I feel like his calls would have substance if he would just get to the point a little bit more quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with somebody saying, oh, you never played. And I'm like, okay, cool. But, what actual point are you trying to make?
That's true.
He does this thing where he tries to undermine the credibility of the other person. But we're talking way too much about him. It's funny seeing the Twitch right now. King of all Twitches says, if you threaten to fight someone over a sports take, you need to be beat up.
This wasn't even over a take. This was over the thumbnail.
Yeah.
This was over the thumbnail for the post. This is what I can't get past.
Yeah.
I honestly have never thought about this person ever. Now I have thought about this person far too much, who apparently isn't arrogant, even though he has a fan page for himself.
I mean, honestly, because like the fact that you went in there and like apologized, like I give you credit for that.
I apologized at first, and then I walked
it
back.
Yeah. Well, then you.
And I also said I'm sorry, comma I guess.
That was not an apology.
No, it wasn't.
3 1-minute rounds is what Dario on the YouTube suggests.
Okay.
That works for you? Is that enough time? 5 1-minute rounds?
I guess. Truly, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure we can find a boxing gym to sponsor this.
Okay. Maybe we can. Well, I don't know if D1 Training the Woodlands wants to have a brawl to open things up. But we are here. We are here at D1 Training in the Woodlands. I can't believe that happened. It's one of my most... This is going to be one of the most entertaining interactions I think I've ever had with a fan. Because I just can't believe how it escalated. And I can't believe how many people are angry about this. Anyway, I'm just a man. A man without a plan. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Can the Texans make you confident again by what they do on Sunday? Stick around, Gallant and George.
ESPN 97.5.